Andrea Volta stood under the shower looking at his body. Well, at what was left of his body. Since taking up his post as piano teacher at the Leith Music School for Boys, he had become thinner and thinner. At first, he had put it down to the appalling diet that the Scots enjoyed. He had tried to like porridge and haggis, but both messes stuck to the roof of his mouth, and the one had no taste, while the other had the sinister spice of blood sports. He ate pasta in large quantities, hoping that his body would return to its normal chunkiness. As the water rippled over his ribs like an arpeggio, Andrea sighed. He was losing his looks. He would have to register with a doctor. After breakfasting on 3 Weetabix with full cream milk, Andrea sat down at the piano and warmed up with scales and a Chopin study. After a break for an espresso, he worked on the exotic composition for solo piano, which he had been invited to perform in Saudi Arabia. It was molto difficile, but the fee was higher than for any of his British concerts. At the Leith Music School for Boys, Matron worked her way through a large pile of trousers. Parents of the new intake had overestimated their son's measurements when they ordered their uniforms. All of the prep class needed their trousers taken in at the waist. In fact, thought Matron, she hadn't seen such a puny lot of eight-year-olds since she was an assistant at a school on Tyneside. Andrea's concert in Saudi Arabia was a tremendous success. The king asked him to stay on for another week to give the crown prince some lessons. These took place in the presence of the king's 30 wives. They were traditionally dressed in voluminous black robes and veils. Looking at his pupil's large girth, Andrea imagined that the burkas worn by his audience concealed delightfully Rubenesque figures. When he got home, Andrea was pleased to notice that he no longer had to hold his trousers up with a belt. Gloria Sharp came for her lesson. She kept wriggling on the piano stool. "Problem?" asked Andrea. "Could I have a cushion? This stool feels awful hard." As Andrea slipped the cushion under Gloria's bottom, he noticed that her shoulder blades were sticking out of her T-shirt like sharp little wings. He knew she was working conscientiously for her grade 7 exam. Was he pushing her too hard? There seemed to be some sort of diet fad going on at the music school as well. His prep pupils looked as though a breath of wind could lift them off their feet. Fiona Sharp watched her daughter walking down the street. Gloria had eaten a large dinner the night before and enjoyed bacon and eggs that morning. She still looked painfully thin. "She's just doing what she always does," said Tony Sharp, "growing up before she grows out."
"Yes, that's what she used to do," agreed Fiona. "This time it's different. Gloria is fading away in front of our eyes. I caught sight of her in the bath, darling. She's horribly thin. Her ribs stick out like piano keys. I'm taking her to the doctor tomorrow."
"Perhaps she's doing too many extramural activities," suggested Tony. The doctor pronounced Gloria healthy despite her skinniness, but seeing her mother's anxiety, he agreed that Gloria might postpone her music exam and take a break from netball practice. The new regime had an effect within days. Soon, Gloria was her usual well-proportioned self. Matron waved goodbye to the boys going home for half-term. She hoped that a few days of Mum's cooking would bring them back with roses in their cheeks and a bit of meat on their bones. Andrea, despondent at how quickly he had lost weight since his trip to Saudi Arabia, sat in the corridor outside the specialist's office, shaking his head. What would happen to his career? He already had a repeat request to visit the Middle East. "The science is still in its infancy," the specialist had said. "They're working hard to find an antidote, but at the moment the only advice is to do minimal exercise, eat lots of carbohydrates, and avoid any form of classical music." What a scandal! He could go to the press, Andrea supposed, but what would that achieve? Trust the British government to implement an obesity solution without considering the knock-on effect. Without any help from Andrea, the tabloids got hold of the story. "Classical music makes kids anorexic." As usual, they had completely missed the point. Music didn't make the kids anorexic, just thin. The chemicals that had been added to the British drinking water acted as an appetite suppressant. There was a side effect, which had gone unnoticed during the trials. When classical music was played, the effect of the chemicals on the brain was exaggerated, causing the body's metabolism to speed up. The news struck a chord with the population. All over Britain, podgy girls and boys applied for music lessons. Adults benefited from exercising to Mozart or Chopin, and at the Barbican, all the orchestra chairs were padded to support the bony forms of the LSO. Ballerinas were at last able to enjoy chips and chocolates. The boys at the music school had their practice sessions carefully timed, and they were put on a high-calorie diet. Concerts, operas and ballet performances were sold out within days, and all the shows in the West End had their music rewritten as classical scores. After negotiating regular deliveries of British water, Andrea moved to Saudi Arabia, where he accepted the post of court piano teacher and stuck to drinking Pepsi or Fanta. A fortnight later, the king's eldest son was fitter than he had ever been, and the king's wives were queuing up to drink at the fountain of music and slenderness.